I definitely love mornings like this and days like this. Everybody seems so much happier. You're dressed nicer. We sing more exuberantly. We seem to just have a greater sense of the joy that is ours because of what God has done in Jesus. And we all know these are special moments. Not every day is like this, but when we experience these kind of moments, I know every one of us, no matter who you are, your heart says, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is how I should see life, how I should be experiencing life. I had a moment like that last week, walked into my house after service, totally, absolutely had no idea whatsoever that there were a bunch of people inside my house who loved me and cared about me and were there to celebrate 60 years of life. And I know the first picture, my jaw is just dropping. I'm thinking, this is what life is supposed to be like. And then, in fact, last week, I don't know how long it's been, 10 years, I went bowling with my wife. And in between the two really pitiful games, I had an absolutely amazing game and thought, this is the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, very rusty. The thing is that these moments in comparison to kind of our typical life and probably the life of most people in the world that's often full of a lot of suffering, we realize there's something wrong. There's a tremendous disparity between the experience of many, if not most people in the world, and these moments that kind of serve as echoes of a reality that we know must exist, should exist in the future. But we don't really understand how did it get wrong and how is it going to be made right? How do we overcome that disparity? How do we live a life that we know is possible and probably God designed for us and yet isn't what happens for most people in their lives? And the truth is, probably every major religion, probably every religion that has ever been formed in the world, and just about every philosophical perspective, all give themselves to trying to, one, understand what's wrong, and secondly, how do we make it right? But I want to tell you this morning, which probably most of you know, that the story of Jesus and the message that we find in the Bible has offered us an absolutely unique understanding of our reality and what it can be. In fact, it's not a suggestion, it's a story, it's a perspective, it's a message that no one had ever conceived of before. Something happened that was never attempted, let alone being executed. God entered the world as a human being for whom sin and death have no rightful claim. And he let his life be taken from him so that he could take it back again in a resurrection from the dead, which pioneered a pathway, a road out of the rubble of evil and death on which now anyone can travel that's willing to surrender their life to his will and his ways. To anyone who's willing to become a disciple of Jesus, to anyone who's willing to identify themselves completely with him and trust him with their life, there is a new road that didn't exist before but does now. And that's the pathway that was created by the very person of Jesus Christ. By entering into death, let evil overcoming him, and then breaking out of it and creating a way from death to life with God, that if you want to be a part of, you can, if you're willing to identify yourself with Jesus. There are a couple of images I want to use again this morning. And Scripture gives us a variety of pictures, images, metaphors, concepts to help us kind of grasp what has happened. I mean, what has happened and what is its significance for my life? And one of those is this idea that the resurrection is the seed of a new kind of existence. That in the resurrection of Jesus, God was planting something that was unrecognized at the time, hidden from our eyes, but in fact represented a life, a kind of humanity, an existence that would now break forth into being and would provide an alternative that we had never had before, and now it would be offered to us. This seed was planted in Jesus' death, placed in the ground and the tomb, and then broke forth with a whole new opportunity and a whole new possibility, a way of outliving this dying world and having a life that would now continue on forever and would be different than anything that anyone had ever conceived of or seen or even imagined. Romans 6, 9, and 10 says this: "For we know that Christ has been raised from death and will never die again. Death will no longer rule over him. And so because he died to sin has no power over him, and now he lives his life in fellowship with God." And I know, you know, at some level, it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around this, to understand that there was this whole kind of existence where sin dominated, where evil ruled, and death was kind of its final punch. And God in Jesus allowed himself to become victim to it, but then was raised from it. And so any power that it exercised was now broken over him, and he entered into a whole new kind of life that's lived completely and entirely with God and in God. And that's what's being made available to us. And I know I've used this illustration before. My wife probably definitely likes it because she likes gardens and plants. But it's like we are now planted in a soil that's capable of producing a kind of plant life that had never, ever before been seen. It did not exist. And I wanted to be sure we understand it's not just improved. It's not just, you know, I was thinking about this plant up front here. Can you see that? Can you see that in the back? Are you sure? Are you positive? Let me pick this ugly thing up. Now, what we kind of want to think, I say ugly thing. Sorry, Jill, if you put this in. What we want to think is that what Jesus has done is that he's come and he's kind of renewed the soil, that he's added some nutrients that had never been there before, and we are becoming healthier people in an environment that's better than the environment we had been in. But what I realize in the resurrection is that doesn't really come close to what is happening. What really took place is that it was a seed that had within it a form of life that had not been possible before. It had not been seen. And when it broke forth, it wasn't a little healthier green plant. It was something that was astounding and beautiful, like these things here. Can you see these? Thank you. You've gone from this to that. That's what's happening in the resurrection. It's a new kind of life. It's not just an improved old life. It's something entirely new, and it has within itself the gospel, and Jesus has within itself the power to make you something totally different, to bring forth out of the soil of your life a form of person, of human being, of creation that has the possibilities that were never possible in that old form, in that old life. And that's being reproduced in each one of us. Jesus is the power of a new form of life and a new form of humanity. I want to read this scripture. And when you think about it in this context, suddenly this passage really comes alive. Just listen, 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 50. "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body," and I'll point to this plant for this half, okay? "The body that is sown is perishable. It's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown in natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we've borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. There's only one person in all the world who confronted sin and beat it. There's only one person who confronted the powers of evil and overcame them. There's only one person who was swallowed by death and lived beyond it. And only one person approved by God to be a pioneer of new life. And that person is Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. Last week, I told you that Jesus was like God's antivirus software. But the more I thought about it, I'm not sure I was completely right. I said Jesus is God's antivirus software, that he identifies the threat, eliminates it, rewrites a healthy code, and protects us from future malware. But I don't think it's quite right. Because I began to think about it and realize, you know what? The world is an environment that is fundamentally flawed. And it takes more than antivirus software to clean it up and improve it and make it a little bit better. In the resurrection of Jesus, God introduced the prototype based on an entirely new operating system in which humanity can flourish. I thought, it's not like God is giving you antivirus software for your Windows. He's giving you a Mac. I knew that would get you. For those of you on the other side, I thought, okay, it's not like he's just giving you some new apps for your iOS device. He's giving you an Android. Whichever side of that argument you might be on, what I want you to understand is in the resurrection of Jesus, this was not God's self-improvement project. This is a whole new thing. It's a new world. It's a new way of living. It's a new form of humanity. That literally, it's not simply a restoring of back to Adam before he sinned. It's something even beyond Adam. And Jesus Christ was the first person to experience that and to enter into that. And he's made it possible for you and I to have the seed of our life planted in that world. And because of it, you too will be raised from the dead. Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So Jesus is kind of like Noah's Ark. We've been provided a way to outlast the rising tide of evil, where when the flood is over, we continue to live this new life that God has made possible for us and actually pioneer the way in Jesus himself. You're like a baby in its mother's womb. Your life comes from her life. Our life comes from his life. And when we hide ourselves by faith in Christ, we share in the very life that is his. John 11:25-26 says this. This is in the Message translation. You don't have to wait for the end. And this is really important. You don't have to wait for the end. I am right now resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. See, the resurrection is not only the seed and a promise, kind of a new bodily existence, a new even material existence as human beings. It is also producing a new inner life as a person that begins right now in this moment. And I'll probably say this again, but the new body is simply an extension of the new life that's already begun in us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. And I know that in our normal daily experience, we still experience suffering and hardship and difficulty and struggle with sin that makes us wonder. But what you have to understand that God has planted in you the very life of Jesus Christ, and it has taken root and has made you new. And you are growing into that new person, into that new existence. And someday it will be completed and fulfilled in a new body as you too are raised from the dead. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you've been born again. You know, and this makes sense of that phrase even better, I think. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. You were born once as a normal, typical human being who is affected by evil. In Christ, you've been born again. Conceived this time by the seed of God's word, which is eternal and has the power to make a new kind of human being. That's who you are and who you are becoming. Romans 6, 5 and 8 says, for since we've become one with him in dying as he did, in the same way we shall be one with him by being raised to life as he was. And we know that our old being has been put to death with Christ on his cross in order that the power of the sinful self might be destroyed, so that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. When we die, we are set free from the power of sin. Since we have, and listen to the tense in the language here, since we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. This is not simply talking about the day when your body gives out. You have already died. You have been removed from the soil in a sense that was giving you the life that it can, and you died, and then you were replanted by the seed of God in a whole new environment filled with life that is eternal, and you have been born. You've been born again. And now you're living in that new life, all because Jesus was raised from the dead and started that. I also want to say that the resurrection is the seed of a new creation to sustain the new humanity. And let me say this before I read this text, because here's what I'm like understanding clearer. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in that he became free from this world of death and entered into the world of life with God, when you identified yourself with him, when his life came into you, you became alive as a new person. Someday, you will be given a new body that is a proper fit for the new person that you are. But God's also creating a new world that's a fit for the new body and for the new person that you are. In this new life, God's covering the whole gamut of our experience so that it may look small, that it starts within you and the person you're becoming, but it will eventually become a new body and in a whole new world in which you can live properly as this new person. And so he says, Revelation 21, 1 through 2, and then I just dropped it, verse 4 here. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth disappeared, and the sea vanished. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with people. He will live with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. The old things have disappeared. You and I are part of something that, you know, truth be told, we don't really look quite this great, do we? But we are the first blooms of a whole new life that God is bringing into existence. And one day, you will be part of a world that every part of it, every aspect of it, will reflect the beauty and the glory and the love and the power and the majesty and the wholeness of God himself. and it will be reflected in your very own life. And this is a life we can start right now. Now, I'm going to end. I want to read this scripture. I looked up at the clock, and it's so early, you're going to think, wow, this is one of those moments. This is the way life should be. We'll see. I want you to listen to this. This is a really powerful passage of scripture in John 5, 24 and 25. And I'm reading it from the Message translation. And this is God speaking to you in this very moment. Don't put it up there yet. In fact, I just want to pray. Lord, can we hear your voice in these words? Can we hear you? Can our hearts be open to you? Can we be able to see it and to respond to you that we might have this very life that you're offering to us today, Lord? John 5, beginning verse 24, it's urgent that you listen carefully to this. Anyone here who believes what I'm saying right now and aligns himself with the Father, who has in fact put Jesus in charge, has at this very moment the real lasting life and is no longer condemned to be an outsider. This person has taken a giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living. It's urgent that you get this right. The time has arrived, I mean right now, when dead men and women will hear the voice of the Son of God, and hearing will come alive. That is a powerful promise. Lord, I pray that it would be true for us this morning. That for any of us, Lord, who are really living under the power of death, not capable of entering into the life that you've provided in Jesus Christ, that we will hear your voice calling out to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and through the words of Scripture, and our eyes will be open and life will enter into us through Jesus Christ. I don't usually do this, but I want to do this morning, and I'm just going to ask. You know, I know some of you, I know many of you, many of you I don't know either, and I don't know what you understand, where your life is with God. But I just want to give you the opportunity to kind of take a little bit of a bold step, not too bold. But if you're sitting here today, and even as I read this last piece of scripture, you thought, this is what's happening for me today. This is what's happening for me. I hear this, and I believe. I believe that God is giving life in Jesus Christ. And because of that, I believe his life is entering into me. I'm going to ask you, if you believe that that's happening for you this morning, would you just raise your hand? Because I'd like to just lead us in a prayer. And I want to know if I'm also praying for any of you in particular. Would you just raise your hand if that's true for you today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you raising your hand. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray for us. Lord, here's what I understand. A new look doesn't make any difference. But a new life, nothing can compare. I believe you, Lord. I believe you've been raised from the dead. I believe that you've entered into life and you offer that life to me. And today, I accept that. I accept you. I identify myself with you, and I submit myself to your will and to your ways. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are putting your Holy Spirit within me, putting in me that resurrection life that transforms me and someday gives me a whole new body and a new world to live in. Thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for new beginnings and for freedom. And for freedom. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, why don't you all stand up? I want to pray a blessing over you. I'm going to invite our ministry team to the front. So these folks are up here just to be available to pray with you before you go this morning. You know, I know it's Easter and, you know, everything's a little bit different for us. And I mean, obviously we've dressed a little different than we've ever dressed before. But life is still real. And we need that resurrection power to come in so many ways. And some of you need to experience it in answer to prayer that somebody here could pray with you this morning. So you don't need to hurry. We've got a little time this morning. Before you go, just come and tell them what you need and let them pray for you. And who knows where you're feeling hurt, where things are going wrong, but God does and wants to address that in your life. So please, after I pray a blessing, come on up and let them pray for you. And I would appreciate it. It would be a great joy for me if you believe this morning that you have entered into life with Jesus that you didn't have before. Just say something to me or come and tell one of these guys and say, would you just pray and bless my life? Because I want to see this really grow and blossom further. You know, these are just kind of little ways that God identifies what's going on in your life and that, hey, I want to do something for you today. So if that makes sense to you, either of these, when other people come to pray, just come up and let somebody pray. Or whoever you've come here with, tell them, that's me. Pray for me. And that'll be a great for your friend to do too. So thank you. All right, let me bless you. May the Spirit of Jesus, who was raised from the dead, be upon you. May he give you life. May he set you free. May he give you hope. And may his life flow from you for others. The Lord is with you. Amen. Hey, guys, really glad you're here today. I appreciate you so much. Have a great day, and I will see you next week. Lord bless you.